Hey, this is Jay Young with King Operating. Have you ever considered paying less money in taxes? Would you like to do what the wealthy do and invest in oil and gas? Go on our website, kingoperating.com, and get my book about our model, ADD, Acquire, Develop, and Divest, or call our number 214-420-3000 to talk to somebody today about investing in oil and gas and saving money on your taxes.
The Jay Young Show is a weekly podcast featuring insightful discussions with anyone from big business CEOs, celebrities, to military heroes. Each interview is a personal conversation about business, life, and anything in between. And now, your host, Jay Young.
Hey everybody, it's Jay Young of The Jay Young Show, and we appreciate you coming on today and learning more about a subject that I'm really wanting to know more about. And what a better person than Evan Balin is out of California. He's in Northern California. We're going to talk about exactly more about him and about the SEO and how he did all the things that he did. But Evan, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you. Yeah, it's wonderful to be here.
I'm really going to enjoy today because it's always great to learn more about somebody. And we talked earlier today. We connected, and we probably did two or three shows already. You know, just by, you know, talking about ourselves and talking about, you know, about how we connected and what kind of person you are. But, you know, one of the best things that we like to do is, you know, kind of learn more about you and learn about, you know, what's your journey? What was your journey like? Where did you go to school? And after you went to school, you got a job at some place called Google or something. And then there was something to do with SEO. And then you wrote some books and, man, I just want to know more about that. But first, you know, I think it's so important because, you know, there's high school people out there right now making a lifelong decision. You know, I mean, I made a decision to not go to work at Johnson & Johnson when I graduated from college. And I know that and I had a great job offer. And my dad was like, you need to take it. But I didn't. But I know that that would have been a different path for me. You know, so Evan, kind of talk about your path and what you did.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in Long Island, New York, and I had two parents that are Jewish. You know, we're a Jewish family and have very Jewish work ethics, which is basically you got to grow up and work really hard, get great grades in school, and then go to an Ivy League school is like a Jewish grandparent's dream. So that was the type of pressure put on me. And I was told basically I could be a doctor and a lawyer. It's these kind of traditional professions that I was given the option to do. So I figured I would take lawyer because I wasn't very good at math and science. And I went all the way to law school after going to Columbia. And I found that I just couldn't do it. I really didn't enjoy law. So finally, I ended up dropping out. And that was just a huge moment in my life because it was the first time that I had to make my own path and just say, what do I really want to do? And I think what's always been in my blood is entrepreneurship. So I ended up starting a company that was based on the way that I got into college, which is I had my college admission essay published by the Columbia Admissions Committee as an example of the ideal college admission essay. And I think that's the only reason I got in because my grades were just barely good enough to even be considered. And that started my first company because, you know, back when I dropped out of law school, I said, let me start a college admissions consulting company. And I had no way of getting customers. So I taught myself this art called SEO, search engine optimization, which is where you get your website to show up at the top of Google search results for free for any search term that a customer would type. I taught myself that at a young age when I was in my early 20s. I just stayed up all night and taught myself through these online forums. And pretty soon I had a booming business and basically started a whole bunch of businesses using my SEO talents after that, realizing that when you rank at the top of Google, you can do anything you want. So eventually I turned my talents to start an SEO company, which is what I do today. And we're the largest SEO company in the US. So love what I do today. And the journey of how I got there is what, you know, made me who I am.
Oh, wow. That's a great story. Great story. So what made you think about SEO and putting, I mean, what was out there at that time, I guess? Now yeah. It's easy. You can go on Google and you can see the SEO thing. But going on back then, and what made you, what drove you to think about what you accomplished?
So this is 2004. Google was popular, but not what it is today, where it's basically ubiquitous. It's like a utility, like our electricity or water. We just go to Google for everything. What drove me to it is the fact that I didn't have any money back then, and it was this free art of being able to get in front of customers. Basically, if Google likes your website enough, if you earn your way there through hard work, this is what was so appealing to me and my sensibilities. Well, then you can be number one and not have to pay for the ads, which are in the, you know, advertising box. We all know what a Google page looks like that are above the organic results. But most people skip the ads and they go to the organic. So I said, how do I earn myself to the top, get my website to rank at the top? And it was just that it was free, and I got the sense that everybody Googles things, even back then. And now we know that that's true. And it's also true that if you rank at the top of Google today, you're going to do very well, especially if it's for a wide range of keywords that customers would type in. So it just was the thing that someone told me about, and it made a lot of sense, and that's what drew me to it.
Wow, wow. So when you were at Columbia in New York, and at that time, is that when you started your first company?
It was after Columbia. So basically, I had gotten into Columbia and made my parents and grandparents proud, then applied to law school, and I didn't get into Harvard Law School or Yale or the other ones that I thought I was going to go to. And that was just what I thought was like the path of a good kid, pretty much. When I didn't get in, I felt like I was kind of a failure, honestly, in the eyes of like my community and my family. And I think that's what made me so frustrated by law school, is like I wasn't going to a good law school, and I also didn't feel like I was doing a good job there. Like it was kind of hard, maybe because I wasn't interested in it. So that's when I said, you know what, I got to try to start something on my own and hopefully get on the right path and be impressive. I mean, that's what I cared about back then. And you know, if I fail, I fail, but I can't do any worse than, you know, going to a crappy law school and then, you know, not doing well there. So it was actually the fear of failure and the experience of it that, pushed me to want to do something great again.
So it was really more about the fear of failure that pressured you or drove you more than, I guess, the success or knowing what the success was, but it was kind of like your parents and thinking about, okay. And I'm curious to know, I mean, obviously you'll never find out from Harvard or Yale or whatever, but, you know, why did they turn you down? Well, I think it was because they thought, hey, well, that's not a good fit for you. Maybe being a lawyer is not a good fit for you. And then, you know, and obviously it was true, and you found that out later on, but you became a huge success. I mean, in another way, but it wasn't by being a lawyer. So that would be curious to know how they knew that.
Yeah, I know. I tend to think things do happen for a reason like that. If your heart is not 100% in something, sometimes you get turned down and it feels like it's really a gift, but you don't experience it then because that's what you thought you wanted. I still have my acceptance of my resignation from law school that the registrar sent framed and on my wall. It's behind where the camera is right now, because it was such an important moment in my life when I realized that I wasn't going to be a lawyer and I wasn't going to make my parents proud in that way. And I was going to have to blaze my own path because I needed to find my own independence at that point in life. I didn't know it. It just felt bad, honestly. But the fear that I felt really forced me to consider which ideas and which life trajectory mattered to me more independently, separate from my family's expectations.
Right, right. Well, I mean, and it's great to know that, you know, there was people out there that not only, if you really wanted it, they wouldn't let you have it. I mean, you couldn't go to Ivy League school because of the obvious, but then you turn that around, like, you know, I don't know what the percentage of people would be to be able to turn it around from something like that and be such a great success. I mean, how many different companies have you started? Have you started them all and sold them all except for First Page?
No, well, I've started 8 companies. 3 of them have not succeeded. They did okay, but they weren't enough to continue. 5 of them were financially successful, and I sold when I was in my 20s. And then First Page Sage is my largest company, and that's the one that I plan to grow. And I plan to keep it forever. I'm not trying to sell it.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, when you say that, I mean, you live in Berkeley, California. You've got the gardener right behind you in the window there.
He chose right now to show up.
I know. You said something about it. He just got to walk by, which is really funny. We're not on Ellen DeGeneres, or he's not looking, you know, and looking, you know, like this or anything. But anyway, but when you say, because I know, I mean, we're a Tiger member together. You're in San Francisco, which we need to talk about San Francisco. I'm in Dallas, obviously, and but we're both Tiger members, and you're out there, and but you've had some great success with that. And now, what does First Page do today?
Yeah, so we do what is essentially a lead generation service through ghostwriting, blog articles, and other pages on companies' websites that all target keywords that their customers would search. So you could call it an SEO company. That's the quickest way to say it. But I think it's fun in that it is mostly a company that is dedicated to writing and writing the best possible page targeting every keyword that would be commercially valuable. So that's basically what we do. And we do, it's just a monthly service, essentially, that we do. And we work with clients usually for years at a time.
Okay. So is that based in – and obviously you live in Berkeley. Is that business in Berkeley?
Yeah, the business is headquartered in Berkeley, but we're a fully virtual company, which is not an original thing to say nowadays. But it really was for the 10 years that it's been virtual. So we've had 10 years now of everybody working remotely, mostly on the West Coast.
Okay. So you're in Columbia. You met your wife there? Your future wife, but you met your wife at Columbia?
It was a little bit after I got out of Columbia. She was at NYU, and we met at a holiday party that was like for both schools. It was like a combined kind of Jewish holiday party. A masquerade, so a very, very romantic setting to meet.
Oh, that's great. Good for you guys. Good for you guys. And she's from the Northern California area, so you guys decide at that point. How much success had you already had by then? Was this right out of, how long after college did you move to Northern California?
So I moved maybe 7 or 8 years outside of college. So yeah, when I met my wife, I had already sold my first 5 companies and I was just starting First Page Sage. And I actually credit a lot of the work that my wife and I have done together just in terms of personal growth and development. That's been a major journey for us to keep developing who we are and become less anxious, more content, fulfilled people. I think that's made me a much better leader. And I think the success of First Page Sage is largely owing to my leadership abilities being developed through my relationship with my wife.
It's really great when you see a couple and you see a man and a woman that they really do appreciate where they've been and also where they're going. So yeah, that's great. I mean, kudos for you guys for seeing that and not only seeing it, but also, you know, I mean, she's not even around right now, you know, so, and you're even saying that. I mean, so that's obviously great. That's great news. You know, so Evan, what is it that drives you the most? I mean, what drives you today? I mean, I think it was fear of failure back 10 years ago, but maybe it's not fear of failure now. Is it is it your everyday life? And what do you look forward to in the future?
Yeah. So I think about that a lot. It's when you've come from basically nothing to having a lot, you do a lot of reflecting on it. And that is definitely something that I think about a lot. What drives me today is not a fear of failure or a desire to make a lot of money or something like that. It's the desire to have intellectual growth and to be able to do something I'm good at and to make a positive impact on the people that I affect. So I affect the members of my company, our business partners, our clients, of course, and my mentees and the other people I associate with. I consider it an important responsibility of mine in my life to make a positive impact on the majority of the people that I meet, probably not going to be everybody, but the majority. And I feel better if I've done that. So for me, it's about the intellectual growth and spiritual growth, you know, whatever that means to anyone. For me, it's about continuing to be a better version of myself, to be more open-hearted and maybe self-effacing and thoughtful. I mean, that's kind of what I'm going for. I still have a ways to go, but it's like my development over time is the way I think about it. And business is a big part of that, because I have to take a lot of responsibility for the impact that I make out in the world and the businesses and ultimately the people behind those businesses that my company and I affect.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And good for you, because I know we talked about this, you know, before, is about, you know, you giving back and you're working on some things right now. I mean, you've written books, reading children's books. I mean, so I know you don't want to talk about your big thing that you're working on. It's kind of like a, not really ready there yet, but is there anything else that, okay, all right, let's just say, for an example, me and you meet, I'm at Starbucks, I'm 20 years old. Here you are, you're Evan, and you're walking in, and all of a sudden I go, man, golly, Evan, you look like a success. What would you tell me? What would you, if I said, hey, do you have 5 minutes to sit down with me and tell me, guide me on a path? What was the first thing you'd tell me?
It's a good question. Probably the first thing that I would tell you about success is to always question the popular wisdom and start to think about who you are and the ideas that guide your life. I think that there are certain ideas that reside in our unconscious, essentially, about who we are. You know, we come from a certain culture, we come from a certain family, our friends are a certain way, and we believe that we are a bunch of things. And to figure out what those things are, because some of them can be very limiting. Some of them can have to do with how much success we feel we deserve or the type of relationship we feel we deserve. So to try to look inward and think a little bit more deeply about that. And while you're doing that, you may end up finding what you like to do. And I find that people range in all kinds of ways. They range in intelligence and talent and ability and hard work. But what I would say is that if you find what you're very good at, and then you're willing to work hard at it, almost anything can be put to use and you can do well financially from it. But I find that you'll do particularly well if you apply hard work to something you're talented in and you happen to enjoy it as well. And that can be a hard thing to find. I think that it's common advice, what I'm saying, but the reason that it's so difficult to find is that people aren't spending enough time trying to look behind their assumptions about themselves. It can be very difficult to do. You know, that's why I have a meditation practice. I go to therapy. I'm really interested in what's happening in my unconscious mind and the things that are driving my life that I take for granted and I don't see every day.
So, well, that's great. I mean, that's a great answer, because I mean, you're thinking about not only hitting your financial or your mental, your physiological. I mean, you're into. I mean, you believe that it's more about your spirit, and it's more about your well-being and who you want to be, more than just, okay, I'm going to go to work every day, I'm going to leave at 9 o'clock, and it's more about I guess is that what you say, the spiritual part of it is a
yes.
Lot of your drive and how you perceive yourself and others.
Yes, but I would also say that independent thinking is a big part of it, because a lot of people get up and go to their job every day because they don't think there's any other choice. And I also was the same way when I was going to college and kind of leading what I would call like a typical, you know, middle class type of trajectory that is what my parents know. And God bless them, which is, you know, you become a doctor or a lawyer. That's what I was told. But by saying, oh, maybe I'll just figure out something that I like to do. I mean, all the different companies I've started, one of them is one of the largest kids websites in the world. And it was a kids gaming website. Where I would just come up with imaginative games for kids to play. I would make them up, and then I would hire artists and programmers to create them. And, you know, tens of millions of kids have played these games. They're just games that I made up because I had fun with them, and I wanted to make kids more entertained and have a good time. So this is possible, and that may have to do with my specific set of talents, but everybody has a set of talents. If you can look beyond the expectations that you have for yourself and that you've been taught. And that is a very difficult thing I'm talking about, but the independent thinking, I think, is the key to being able to ultimately reach a higher level of whatever you want to call it, self-actualization, spirituality, really the best version of yourself is what I ultimately mean.
Right. Well, that's great. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's a great way to think through things. You know, could we read the Norman Vincent Peale's or the magic and positive of, you know, positive thinking and all that. And that's really good to think about, you know, how you see yourself and how you perceive yourself and what goals you have to do to get to where you want to be. Right. I mean, that's so important, you know, so let me ask you this. Where do you see yourself 10, 15 years from now? What's the next step? What's the next, not your secret. I don't want to know your secret, but what do you see yourself when you're my age, let's say, okay. When you're a little bit older and you see, how do you see yourself then?
Well, I would like to increase the already very present role of philanthropy in my life. I think that's really important. I'd like to continue to develop mentorships. That's also really important to me, to make sure that younger people have many different influences. And I think you should have many mentors that are kind of good at different things, because nobody's good at everything. But I'd also like to keep developing in terms of the ideas that I believe and the way that I feel and come into the world each day, because I find that if I'm in a really good place and I'm feeling positive, especially with, you know, all the difficulty that's been in the world lately, and, you know, that you can always make a statement like that no matter what's going on, you need people who are going to be able to be positive and see things from a realistic but wise point of view. So I hope to be that wise person, and I hope to be consistently engaged in dialogues with lots of different interesting people, and continue to try to spread positivity. And even more than positivity, I think, is to help give people the tools to discover what's true for them. Because there's something very powerful in truth. And I'm always trying to discover what's true for me, the ideas that I live by, the things that I believe, my ideologies. And the more that I can influence people to seek out what's true for them, I think the freer they become mentally. And so I'd like to just spend more time doing that through dialogue, through the philanthropic work that I do, and maybe even through my company.
Wow, that's great. That's great. What are some of your favorite charities?
Oh my gosh, there's so many good ones. I mean, I mostly focus on charities that have to do with emotional growth. So I like to focus on really small charities that haven't gotten off the ground and have a huge base. But a number of ones that are local to the Bay Area that focus on foster kids. That's one of my favorite areas, just to speak about the areas. Charities that have to do with kids that come from difficult backgrounds where they don't have parents present, to something like Big Brothers, Big Sisters. I really love the concept, and there's many besides that. That's kind of the big one that has many chapters. But I think that when kids don't have parents that are able to spend time with them, then they're missing something absolutely critical. Just the simple act of attention from somebody that looks at you with a positive regard is huge. So I think anything that involves volunteers coming in and spending time with kids is usually going to attract a donation from myself or my foundation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's great. I mean, I know there's a lot of great people out there that really, you know, all they need is a little push, a little money to help, you know, pay the bills. Yeah. And they're really into a lot of these great charities. So that's great that you help or, you know, financially help them, because I know that, you know, they do need it, and the messages are just wonderful. So is there anything else that you can think of that would help inspire somebody or anything I've left out?
Well, one thing I've been thinking a lot about lately is something I mentioned briefly. It's the concept of dialogue. It's attempting to have a conversation with somebody where you're not just both in the same room talking, but one of you is listening when the other is talking. That's the kind of base level. But you're also stopping and thinking during the conversation. I often look when people are talking to see if any thinking takes place. And sometimes it's just a fun conversation and you don't need to think very hard. It's not about that. But other times, if you're talking about something deeper and more meaningful to you, I think it's important to stop and think about what the person said. And then after the conversation, go back, do your own research, think about it. there's something very powerful when you have a dialogue that lasts over days or weeks with somebody, where you keep coming back and you end up learning something new from it and evolving who you are. I think that's one of the most powerful things that I engage in on a day-to-day basis. And it could be a dialogue I have with my wife or one of my friends or somebody at work. But I find that I keep changing because of other people. And it's always other people that influence us to become better and to change. And that happens through conversation, through communication. But I think it happens through slow, thoughtful, meaningful interaction. So I'm just a big fan of slowing down and listening to what someone else has to say, even if you disagree with it. And I actually think this is something that it is very hard to find in the world nowadays, because people tend to get in ideological places where they feel very strongly, and it's what they deeply believe, even on an unconscious level. So I would encourage people to question their beliefs and to listen a lot. And that doesn't mean you have to agree with the other person. You're probably just going to learn something new. In every dialogue, I learn something new. Always. It means that I'm having a dialogue if I'm learning. So that's the only thing I would add that has been powerful for me lately.
Right, right. Yeah, and I know that if I go to my local country club, you know, and I'm going around to the different tables of people, that the conversations are a lot different, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not that I'm doing that during the COVID, but I'm just saying that if I was, I remember back before COVID that you would, and I know there's two or three people there that, man, I love their conversations because they're current news. I mean, they're watching the CNBC or they're at the markets or politics or whatever. And I mean, very, very deep conversations, which are really, really good. And then there's some people on the next one are talking about, you know, the sports from last night and you know, that'll change really soon, obviously. But I understand that. I really do like that because, I mean, I spend more time, you know, over here at the intellectual stuff, you know, trying to learn something, you know, and trying to gather more information and hang around those people because, man, the conversations and the knowledge just, you know, it's just great. Because I know that when I leave there, I'm really going to, you know, when I'm talking to somebody like you, I want to bring that conversation in and that's where I want to be. I want to be on with that kind of a level of knowledge and conversation, you know, instead of something that's obviously less. So, you know, that's great.
Yeah. There's just value in all types, but I particularly like when you think about why someone does something. You just ask the question why, almost like a little kid would, and that can be one of the hardest questions to really answer. It's like, I'm going to work today. Why? You know, or I want to read this book. Why? And you can learn either about yourself or about the way people revolve in the world that are in your life. And there's just so much to explore. There's, you know, I think of like how much I enjoy travel. And then I say there's just as much to learn by sort of traveling inward and questioning all the little processes and reasons for why you do what you do. And I think this has helped me a lot in business because I've really come to learn or question and think about people's motivations and customer behavior. I mean, this really helps me in the realm of marketing and SEO. But I just find it personally fascinating. And I think you have to fuse the two, I think, to be successful at something in business. You have to be really interested in it. You can't do it just because it's a good, you know, value proposition or business idea.
Yeah. Well, my goodness. I mean, to live in Berkeley, California, I'm not sure how much I'm sure it's a little bit more expensive than, you know, my hometown where I grew up, you know, and I mean, the success that you've grown and the success that you've had in a short amount of time is just, it's fascinating. I'll tell you what, Evan, it's been great having you on the show. It's been great getting to know you. I mean, as a fellow Tiger member, obviously, you know, we have that connection, but yeah. I'm really looking forward to getting to know you more in the future, but it's been a great pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this too. I look forward to that as well.
I have too. Thank you very much. And have a great time. And we'll tell you when it's going to be aired and we'll always have a great time. Thank you very much for being on.
Of course. Okay, yeah. Jay.